The How Is This Movie podcast is supported by listeners just like you. Go to patreon.com/howisthismovie. There you can pledge as little as a dollar a month and help us maintain the goal of keeping this show fully independent and free of advertising. You will also gain instant access to bonus episodes not available anywhere else. Once again, that's patreon.com/howisthismovie. And now, for our featured presentation.
Hello everyone and welcome to How Is This Movie? My name is Dana Buckler, and thank you for taking just a little time out of your day to listen. Be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at How Is This Movie. You can like us on Facebook at facebook.com/How Is This Movie. You can always email me with questions or comments at hitmpodcast@gmail.com. And finally, if you're enjoying the show, please take a moment and leave a review on whatever platform you use to listen. So it's been a while since I've recorded an episode discussing a new release film. In fact, I think you have to go back to the Last Jedi episode that I released in December. But over the past 6 weeks, I've really been on a tear seeing 6 movies, which to know me is to know that I don't normally go to the theater that often. I tend to have really bad luck seeing movies at my local movie theater. But I'm happy to report that for the most part, all 6 of the movies I saw were pretty good experiences. The movies in question were Death Wish, which honestly was exactly as advertised, a paint-by-numbers remake directed by Eli Roth. Now speaking of Roth, Death Wish is by far his most conventional film to date, with only flashes of the signature gore that he's become known for. The next film I saw was Ready Player One, which, on paper, I should have had zero interest in seeing. As someone who often criticizes too much CGI in films, to go see a movie that takes place inside a CGI virtual world, well, that shouldn't add up. But having said that, after what I found to be a very frenetic opening, I was able to settle into the film and just absolutely loved it. Now, I'm well aware of the nostalgia factor that is in play with Ready Player One. And since I am a child of the 80s, it did hook me. The next movie was Blockers. Now, I can't say enough good things about this comedy. Blockers is a rare film that perfectly blends together the teen sex comedy genre with a Judd Apatow-style adult comedy. The film is definitely rated R, and I did see a few people walk out of the theater. But I will say, it has been some time since I can remember laughing out loud that much in the theater. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'm sometimes often surprised and delighted with how many smaller films make it to my local movie theater. Otherwise, I don't think I would have been able to see Chappaquiddick, a solid little film that takes viewers through the events surrounding the car accident in Martha's Vineyard that involved Ted Kennedy and took the life of one of his staffers. The movie had great performances, and it's definitely not the pro-Kennedy film I expected it to be. Now, my only issue, and it's a minor one, was that I knew the whole story, including the outcome, so there was no surprises for me in the film. But if you don't know the story, by all means, check out Chappaquiddick. Now, last Sunday, it was a really rare day for me. I actually had to work, and Sundays are usually dedicated to working on the podcast and lately going to the movies, but I had to work, and by the time I got done with work that night, I really wanted to unwind by going to see a movie. But I wanted to see something that I wasn't going to have to really think about, sort of kind of like most of the movies that come out in the summertime, kind of just mindless fun. But I needed some advice on what to see, so I turned to the one person I know who sees everything in the theater, friend of the show and fellow podcaster Adam Risky of F This Movie. I told him about my desire to see something I didn't have to think about, and after chatting with Adam for a couple of minutes, I settled on Rampage. Now, Adam was correct in his assessment to me on the film. Rampage was a complete mess. But there was some fun to be had in the film if you suspend your disbelief and understand exactly what you're seeing. After those 5 films, I planned to take a break for a few weeks. But it's really hard to ignore what movie came out this weekend. Well, actually, it could have been easy for me to ignore Avengers: Infinity War, seeing as how I have never talked about or done a single episode on any Marvel film. I mean, with the exception of Logan, which, let's face it, that's from a different studio. Now, I've been critical of the model that Marvel and Disney have been using, releasing a seemingly never-ending stream of comic book films. Now, the main critique of this model has always been that the stakes in the film are never real. You see, if you're already aware that Marvel plans to release 5 or 10 more films featuring the same character in the movie you're watching, then you know that they're never in any danger. And when you're watching a film knowing this info, it can and does take away from your overall enjoyment. These issues are not limited to just Marvel films. James Bond is another example of a film series that I've lost touch with. So, for over the past 10 years, this has been my way of thinking. However, something slowly began to change for me over the past year and a half. Something that I've been really keeping to myself and not talking about on the podcast. It started one Sunday in 2016 when I was at home looking for something to watch. Feeling bored and not looking to jump into a serious film, that seems to be what happens to me on Sundays, I decided to watch 2012's The Avengers. Now, this is a movie that I famously walked out of 45 minutes into it. Being such a huge fan of The Dark Knight and loving how Nolan kept his film grounded somewhat in reality, the scene in The Avengers when the aircraft carrier spawns propellers and lifts off into the sky was just, well, at that time, it was just too much for me. I could be heard audibly saying, "I'm out," as I left the theater. And with that, I pretty much swore off Marvel films for almost the next 5 years. But I couldn't ignore the fact that with each passing year, the Marvel brand got bigger and bigger. So back to that lazy Sunday in 2016. I was looking to watch something that I didn't have to think about too much, and I decided to give The Avengers another look. This time, agreeing to myself to suspend the disbelief in favor of just giving the movie a chance. When the film was over, I can clearly remember thinking to myself, you know, that wasn't too bad. You might even say that was kind of fun. Now, it wasn't a life-changing moment where all of a sudden I was Team Marvel all the way. Didn't decide at that moment to binge all of the Marvel films that I hadn't seen yet. But it did open my eyes to the idea that if there's nothing else to watch, I could watch a Marvel film. And that's what I did over the past year and a half. Not all of them. Honestly, not even half. But enough that I began to soften my position on the Marvel films. Of the movies I did see, The Avengers, Captain America, Winter Soldier, and Civil War, Ant-Man, Spider-Man Homecoming, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Thor Ragnarok, I can say that I enjoyed each and every one of them. I should point out that I didn't see any of them in the theater, which is somewhat surprising considering that I saw Man of Steel, Batman v Superman, Suicide Squad, and Justice League all in the theater, and was completely disappointed by all four of those films. My stubbornness for Marvel films cost me the joy of seeing those films on the big screen, the way they were intended to be seen. So that brings me to the subject of today's episode, Avengers: Infinity War. And before I talk about the film, I want to make one thing clear. I am in no way, shape, or form an expert on Marvel films, so I can't promise you that I'm going to break down the film like other podcasters might. I'm sure that F This Movie and Now Playing and a few other podcasters are going to have a much more in-depth analysis of Infinity War. For me, the fact that I saw the movie in the theater on opening weekend is a feat in itself. And I will absolutely give you a spoiler warning when the time comes. First, we need to talk about my decision to see the movie altogether. This stems from what I was just saying about feeling like I had been missing out on seeing these films on the big screen. Second, there seemed to be a lot of rumblings going on about how dark this film was going to be, and that there was going to be major spoilers that probably wouldn't survive past opening weekend. Now, all week long leading up to this weekend, I was getting myself prepared as I could for the film. You know, I really didn't have enough time to watch any of the previous Marvel films that I've missed, but thanks to the magic of YouTube, I was able to find a number of great videos explaining everything you needed to know. Also, I should point out that at my job, there's a few guys that are in their early 20s and huge Marvel fans. I spent a lot of time asking them a ton of questions, and just for fun, I would play the misinformed, clueless 40-year-old. I would ask questions like, "So do you think Superman will be able to take down Thanos? And are Batman and Iron Man really going to get along?" "I think they will." I would just walk away, leaving my coworkers very puzzled, one of them even suggesting that I might just be too old to see the movie. Now, given the fact that I was seeing this movie on opening weekend, and this film was sure to be sold out, I was going to have to employ my trusted secret weapon that I break out for crowded movies, the twosies. For those who don't know what I'm talking about, this is a row of two seats on each side of the main section of seats in the movie theater, and my local IMAX has reserved seating, so I buy two seats and ensure that no one sits next to me. Now, here's where things went a little haywire for me. When I woke up yesterday morning and opened up my app to buy the tickets, I was shocked to see that all of the twosies were sold out during the first showing. This didn't happen to me when The Last Jedi came out. Now, this was the first showing, the one I planned on seeing. Interestingly enough, though, if you looked at the seating chart past the row of twosies, there was a row of four seats, and they were all available. Now, I kid you not, for a brief moment, I considered getting all four seats. Now, please don't judge me. I have real issues sitting next to total strangers in a movie. For some reason, I can't relax and I can't settle in. Years ago, I was stuck in a theater seat with strangers on both sides of me. The lady on my right was eating peanuts, and I mean the ones in the shells. She kept cracking them open and tossing the shells on the floor. Some of the shells were landing on me. I mean, I have enough bad luck going to the movies themselves, and I don't want to exacerbate things anymore by sitting next to anyone else. So I didn't get the four seats. I moved along to the next showing and managed to snag the only twosies left. With tickets purchased, I headed to Beagle Cinema. When I presented my phone to get my ticket scanned, the lady handed me two sets of 3D glasses. I smiled and politely said, Oh, I'll just need the one pair, but thank you. By this point, she must have known who I was because she smiled and said, you know, you're really the only person who does this. I just shrugged my shoulders, smiled once again, said thank you. I entered the theater with 10 minutes before showtime and settled into my seats. Now, when I tell you that I had the only empty seat in the house, I mean it. Not once, but twice, someone who had a ticket in the very front row asked me if anyone was sitting there. Each time I was very nice but firm, and I would say yes, there has been a ticket purchased for this seat. I should point out that my screening was full of Marvel fans. No surprise there. It seemed like of the 300 people in my auditorium, I may have been the only one not wearing a Marvel shirt or not carrying a Captain America shield. I kind of felt like I was at a Halloween party without a costume. As I was sitting there, I couldn't help but hear a lot of the conversation going on around me. And I will admit that I was just a little bit jealous that I didn't have the passion for these films that most in my auditorium seemed to have. The last time I can remember those kind of feelings, those passionate feelings, was in 2012 for The Dark Knight Rises and in 2015 for The Force Awakens. I was interested in seeing this film, but I didn't have the fire. The house lights dimmed. As of recording this, Avengers: Infinity War has broken both the opening weekend domestic and worldwide box office record. This really shouldn't come as a surprise to you, seeing as how Marvel has been developing this ongoing comic book film franchise for the past 10 years. With 18 movies and counting, Marvel has a very sizable advantage going into this movie with all the character development that has already been set up. Fans of the franchise will not have to sit through unnecessary exposition, and this was evident right from the opening scene. I mentioned that fans of the film franchise would have no problem picking up exactly where Infinity War starts, but I did. 5 minutes into the film, I was like, oh shit, I don't know what the hell is going on. Thankfully, I was able to quickly piece together what was happening and settled into the film. Right off the bat, let me tell you that I am not normally a fan of 3D, but for this film, it really seemed to enhance the movie, and I would recommend IMAX 3D as the format to see this film if possible. Keeping this part of the episode spoiler-free, I will say that I did have a good time watching the film. I found the majority of the film to be entertaining, and I did laugh out loud on a few occasions. The chemistry between the characters that meet for the first time was also quite good. Although I still give Thor Ragnarok the nod when it comes to effective humor, and that of course is because of that film's director. The action sequences were all well done and exciting, even if sometimes they bordered on the absurd. I will give high praise to the character of Thanos. He was among one of the more interesting villains that I have seen on the big screen in some time, and he completely mops the floor with that bad guy from Justice League, Steppenwolf. Yes, if you haven't figured it out, I am ready to officially say that Marvel films are definitively better than the DCEU films. But that statement, of course, does not apply to the Nolan Batman films, and I don't know if it ever will. Now, I've been hearing several people compare this film to Empire Strikes Back, and in some ways I can see the parallels. But I wouldn't agree with the overall assessment, mainly because Empire ends on a down note, but there is still hope. Luke lost his arm, but gets rescued by Lando and Leia, and they also begin to form a plan on how to save Han. Infinity War ends on a major downer with little hope. Well, there's hope, but not in the way you think. And I will explain now as I go into spoilers. So if you haven't seen this movie yet, here's your warning. So here's the bottom line. One of the reasons why I was really into the idea of seeing this film was because for the first time, I believed the stakes to be real. For the first time, I thought it was possible that some of these iconic characters may not survive all the way to the end of this film. And to be fair, it appears that at least one Gamora did not when Thanos sacrificed her in order to get one of the Infinity Stones. Loki does appear to be killed in the opening scene, but as Thor says later on in the movie, Loki has died before. So we don't know about that. Throughout the film, as Thanos continues to gain the stones, the tension was building up. During the extended fight scene on Titan, when Thanos stabs Tony Stark, that was the aha moment for me. That was for a brief moment, I was wowed that it was Iron Man, the character that had kicked off the Marvel franchise 10 years ago. It was going to be him that was going to die. At the same time, I was thinking, with the reported amount of money that they pay RDJ to play that role, I was surprised that it was him. But all of those thoughts were short-lived as Doctor Strange makes a deal with Thanos for one of the stones in exchange for Tony's life. By the climax of the movie, Thanos has collected all the stones. This is when Thanos executes his plan to kill half of all the life in the universe. We see several characters disappear, including Spider-Man, Bucky, Black Panther, Groot, and the list goes on. Now, I know this is part one of a two-part story, but the ending didn't have the effect on me that I think was intended. This is where the film kind of lost me. Are we to believe that all these now beloved characters, including Spider-Man and Black Panther, are gone or possibly dead? This is where I think Marvel may have made a mistake. They've already announced the next round of movies, including a new Spider-Man film. Also, Black Panther is one of the highest grossing films of all time, and there is no way he's gone for good. This whole ending was honestly was kind of a letdown for me. I mean, I really liked the majority of the film, and I've grown to appreciate that the Marvel films, they're fun. But I have to think that most of us out there know that all these characters, they're fine, they're coming back ASAP, and the ending of the film felt more like a mid-season finale than a major cliffhanger. So overall, I enjoyed my first Marvel big screen film in some years, but I still don't have the fire burning inside me to rush out and see another Marvel film anytime soon. I will more likely revert back to watching them on video on demand. Now, before I close out this episode, something really interesting happened while the credits were rolling. Everyone in the theater was sitting there waiting for the post-credit scene, including myself. This is when I began to hear something unusual. A few rows behind me, there was a lady sobbing uncontrollably. I mean, she was wailing, bawling her eyes out. She began to yell at the movie screen. She screamed, "He was just a teenager. How could you do it? How could you?" That was the point in which I turned around to see what the hell was going on. I saw the woman. She had to be in her mid to late 30s. She was being consoled by a few of her friends. Again, she yelled out, "How could you do it? Oh, Groot, he can't be dead. He can't be dead. He just can't be. Not my Groot." Now, I'm telling you right now, this was not an act. She was not doing this to be fun. Even at 15 feet away, I could see the tears streaming down her face. Her friends convinced her to get up and leave the theater. They walked her down the stairs right past me. Now, feeling very concerned about her well-being, I said as she walked by, "Groot's going to be fine. He's going to be just fine. This is a Marvel film. The next Guardians of the Galaxy movie comes out in 2020. That's only 2 years from now. You'll see Groot in 2 years. 2 years." The sobbing woman looked at me and screamed and cried at the same time and screamed out, "2 years. 2 years. As her friends ushered her out of the theater, I soon realized that a lot of people were now staring at me in disgust. I looked around at everyone and threw my hands up and said, "What did I say?" My name is Dana Buckler, and thank you so much for listening.
The How Is This Movie podcast is produced by Dana Buckler for Hidden Productions, located in Ocala, Florida. Please follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram at How Is This Movie. Like our Facebook page at facebook.com/How Is This Movie. Of course, you can always email the show with questions or comments at hitmpodcast@gmail.com. And finally, to become a monthly supporter of this podcast and gain instant access to bonus episodes not available anywhere else, go to patreon.com/How Is This Movie. You'll find all the links to our social media in this episode's show notes.